Hey, how's it going?
Hey, you doing all right? what's going on?
Hey, this is another episode of Drop It in Texas.
Yes, it is.
How about that shit?
This is episode 5.
Episode 5? Are we at episode 5
We're
already?
We're at episode 5, dude.
Good God.
It's only been 5 weeks.
So we do these weekly?
Yeah, we try to do one every weekend, uploaded on Sunday, so it's ready for your listening pleasure on Monday on your way to work.
Yeah, get those Monday night blues out of the way by listening to the cool sounds of Chase Taos and Hondo Hank.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that shit.
I could not have said that better on the spot. That was perfect.
So why don't we go ahead and do some housekeeping, man? We got some people that we want to thank for sponsoring Ye Olde Podcast.
Absolutely, man. Our first sponsor, and you guys might know of Voluptuous Skateboards. Its director is sitting right here at the table with us.
Big Texas skateboards, usually with some curves in them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the podcast is sub-sponsored and co-sponsored by Double D Rails. I don't know. Is that a word, sub-sponsored? It is now.
Co-sponsored.
Co-sponsored.
Also sponsored by.
Well, it's just a smaller name.
Brought to you by Worldwide Pants.
Worldwide Pants, right. Plug. There's a plug for you. Yeah. Also, Surf House in Houston, Texas, the oldest surf and skate shop in Texas. Right, Brett?
That's correct.
Oh, which brings us to our what? What? We have a mystery guest, right? Oh, I had the wrong button. There we go. Mystery guest. So our mystery guest is, who's our mystery guest? Why don't you go ahead and introduce him right now?
It's one of my oldest and most favorite friends in the world, Mr. Brett Roper.
Brett Roper in the house.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Absolutely. We're glad you're here.
And, you know, Brett is a skateboarder, longtime skateboarder, and he's also sponsored by Cockfight Skateboards, which is a sponsor of Dropping in Texas.
Yeah.
How do you like that? That was good.
Maybe that's what you call a segue.
Segue.
Or you slid in a plug.
I think... Did you get that one?
I think slid I got that one. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Welcome to the cockfight.
I'm hoping you did. Anyway, I'll continue with these sponsors and get that done. Apparition Skate Shop on Guadalupe. I believe the address is 1906 Guadalupe, and it's Suite 2. It's downstairs.
In the basement.
In the basement.
Where Pee-wee's bike was.
Uh-huh. And they are, they carry Clubhouse Skateboards, which is another sponsor of ours, a more recent sponsor. Apparition is an old school skate shop. It's a core skate shop, I believe, is what they refer to it. They have everything you need to skate. If you don't have shoes, they have shoes, so you can go down and get shoes and then get a skateboard. If you don't have shorts, they have shorts. If you don't have a t-shirt, they have t-shirts.
I do believe they sell pads as well.
They sell pads, helmets, grip tape, rails, bolts, nuts.
Everything you need.
Exactly.
Everything you need.
We mentioned Cockfight Skateboards out of Houston, Texas. Michael Neiman and the Cockfight crew.
Quality skateboards,
man, and super cool guys. Method of Thrashing Hard, or Moth, and our buddy Mo.
Big shout out to Mo.
Method of Thrashing Hard is a clothing company, and they've got a few sponsored riders who have some really cool designs, and so there is a huge selection of cool apparel. So go check them out. Royal Tiger Tattoo on South Congress. Our buddy Ben Fielder is a fantastic tattoo artist and a fan of the podcast. And I believe we knocked those out. We got Buzz Bomb in, didn't we? Did we get Buzz Bomb?
Nope.
One of our newest sponsors, Buzz Bomb. A couple of good buddies of ours.
Rob Torres, Brett Johnson.
And Rad Skaters. Mm-hmm. Very accomplished dudes and creative fellows, and we appreciate having them.
Yeah, pick up a copy of Texas Monthly, this most recent edition of Texas Monthly. Brett has an article in there. In fact, I'll tell that story a little bit later about how I found that article. It's pretty badass.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, absolutely.
But I'd also like to give a big thanks to our past guests who've taken some time out of their day to come and sit with us. Wahoos, whatever you want to call us, because we're pretty dorky when it comes to this crap. And, you know, there's some cheersing going. There we go. I like the sound of that. Oh. But, yeah, I want to shout out to Rob Meyer, who's our last guest. I want a big shout out to Jason Wren, Bryce Miller, and your buddy Alan.
Alan Craig from Houston.
What's up, Alan?
Yeah, man. Yeah. And so far, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of good laughs, and a lot of good skateboard memories, and making a lot of new skateboard memories as well.
Making a lot of friends through the podcast,
right,
as well, too.
Yeah. So I just want to thank all of our past guests, man. Without you guys, this show would be less than.
Well, so. I'd like to say thanks to you.
Oh,
for
really?
Doing this podcast with me and actually making it something that's tolerable to listen to.
Well, I like to think that I bring my talent, you know, with me. So
everywhere you go,
everywhere I go, yeah,
even the bedroom.
Well, you know, it happens. But thank you, man, because you know, this is your brainchild, pretty much. You said, "Hey, do you want to do this?" I said, "Hell yeah!" And so here we are now. And so with all that formality out of the way, man, Brett, thanks for coming in.
Hey, I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah,
I hope this gets listened to.
Yeah, it will. It will get listened to. So, oh, you want, yeah, so let's, so.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Roper.
Yeah, so.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Or ladies and gentlemen, Brett Roper. No?
Thank you.
I just want to point out to our listeners that we have this cool little mixing board, and this mixing board has built-in sounds. And so, you know, Chase considers himself funny, but in all actuality, he's a little.
I keep reaching over right. to hit the button. So yeah, I'll put a stop too.
I'm gonna hang a sign around your neck that says "Don't feed the animals." And by the way, yeah, you would tell me if you've had a stroke, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because sometimes
you think I've had a stroke.
Yeah, your behavior. Right. So, but anyhow, so Brett, man, thanks for coming in. You know, we talk about a lot of crap here, man, but. Primarily, we talk about skateboarding, and one of the questions that I always ask, you know, and, you know, I don't know you all that well personally, you know, a few years there, I've known who you are for a long time based on your talent and your skill, but, you know, one of the questions I ask everybody first up, man, is, you know, how old were you when you started skating? You know, what was your first board? What are your fondest memories of those early days when you just got in?
So... skateboarding was, it's a great thing that happened to me. I think I was about 13, and as far as my first board, I don't really remember a lot the way I grew up, but I really enjoyed riding that Lance Mountain one for quite a while, all the figures running around.
Yeah. The future primitive
board, yeah.
That was a good one. I had a blender. I think the very first one I remember riding was the Veriflex, and I got it, and that was my board.
Yeah, which one?
Do you remember which one you had?
I don't.
I had the Veriflex Voodoo.
Oh, okay. I think that's what it was called. What did it have a...
It had like
scorpion
a
scorpion on the bottom.
No, you're thinking of the Nash Executioner. Had a big scorpion.
No, I think it was called the Voodoo. But even I even had a board before that was, you know, pretty much a plank of wood with some grip tape on it. But... I had a ditch in my neighborhood that we just started skating, and you know, one thing led to another, and it was a great thing.
And right. What neighborhood was that?
Westlake, Houston, Texas. A lot of people try to say I'm from Katy, but I am from Houston.
Right.
And, pretty close to Katy, but it was Westlake. There's this great ditch that we would skate. Even some heavy hitters and from Houston skateboarding would come skate this ditch. It wasn't that great, but it was there, and
it was something to skate.
And we skated.
Hell yeah,
it was an option.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a lot of those. Yeah, we had a lot of those ditches down in South Texas too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so I mean, we had a good group of people just in my neighborhood, and we would skate. It's what we'd do.
Right on. Yeah, get a little closer to that.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, this
gets in the way of my beer, though.
Yeah, well, you know, just tilt your head back a little bit further. Yeah. So right on, man, right on. So, you know, grew up in Houston, skating in Houston. So, of course, you know, skate park of Houston Skate Park, Orange Grove Street, all that good shit.
Yeah, Tradewinds.
Little slice of heaven right there.
Yeah.
Tradewinds, that's good times.
Yeah, talk about some of those good times.
I mean, Houston's, you know, I was pretty privileged to grow up in such a good skate scene. Like, and so I really enjoyed skating the Vert, and we had the skate park in Houston, this Dennis Epinette build, and it's just amazing. It's an amazing park, and, you know, we had the Kahuna, the Hurricane, the Chiquita. The Widowmaker, then as it grew on, you know, he dug up the old ditch, and what was the Ninja Ram?
The Ninja, that's my favorite. That's the one
that was
I'm
not
gonna,
my favorite.
That's the one I'm going to rebuild at some point in life.
But is that the one that had the bulletproof glass on? I mean,
no. The first spine ramp that he put where the Hurricane ended up what had that clear plastic right. stuff on it. So in the summer.
Did that one have a name? I don't remember.
I think that it was called Shit Ramp. Because I'm pretty sure that everything was perfect about that ramp except the skin.
Yeah.
That was the only thing that was a real pain because it would trap moisture. When in the morning in our Texas climate, there'd be moisture on it. So when you're skating.
Well, there'd be moisture underneath it.
Yeah. It'd be dry on top.
You could see the water underneath the layer, and it would just come up through the screw holes.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. It was. Yeah. It sucked.
Yeah. I mean, Dennis was a genius. The way he built ramps was amazing. He would just stack 2x6s on top of 2x6s on top of 2x6s. The Kahuna needed to be torn down, and he said, this is too great. I'm going to build a concrete flat bottom for it. I mean, that guy's a genius, and he still is a genius. I think I don't know what he's up to now.
I'll tell you.
He builds vehicles or cars, he builds
like high performance dune buggies. He welds frames and does all the structural stuff, you know, like he engineers these things and build them. That's what I heard. I haven't talked to him in 25 years, but I
regret that I'm not in touch with him because I've got great stories that he kind of took me under his wing on many occasions. I was pretty young and he's amazing individual, amazing builder, amazing mind.
Good friend. He was a really cool dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Provided a hell of a place to skate for
legendary.
I mean, a couple of generations of skateboarders at least.
Oh yeah.
NSA had a contest there every year on one of the ramps.
Yeah.
Kahuna and the Hurricane.
I kind of wanted to back into that a little bit because we might have some listeners that might be relatively new to skateboarding or maybe they're a different generation of skateboarders. So. NSA, National Skateboarding Association, was the sanctioning body of all the contests back in the 80s. And there was a whole vert. I mean, that was everything back then. But it was like a backyard ramp session contest that was going on. And then all of a sudden, Dennis builds the Kahuna. It was the first contest. It was red, had a channel, and it was, 24 feet wide, I believe. But for people who don't know, 24 feet wide, right? That's crazy. But for people who don't know, it was the biggest ramp at the time. It had 10-foot transitions. It was 12 feet tall and had 2 feet of vert. It was insane. I remember I didn't get to go to that first contest because I think I was like 13 or 14 years old. It was 86, right?
I was there. You were there?
I was stuck in Corpus Christi. But I remember getting the magazine and the video came out and Paul Schmidt was like, well, this is the biggest ramp we've ever seen. And like certain pros didn't skate it very well at all. And other ones did.
Certain pros wouldn't even skate
wouldn't
it.
Even
I think
get
they
on.
Were literally right. scared.
Right.
Well, the issue, one of the issues was the flat bottom was only 10 or 12 feet,
12
right?
12 feet, I believe.
It was for a 12-foot high ramp, you were going fast.
And 24 feet wide.
And the metal.
So that's pretty narrow for how fast you're going.
Yeah. And the metal surface, when it was warm, the plastic caps on our pads didn't slide very well.
Yeah, because it was a metal surface.
Yeah, it was sheet metal. And when you go back and look at all the contest footage from those 86, 87 Shut Up and Skates, you'll see dudes going to their knees and then going directly to their wrist guards and sliding forward.
That's why PDs make such good elbow pads as well.
Right.
Right. You want to throw a shout out to Bill Walker.
Yeah, Bill. Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Yeah, Pro Design knee pads. I remember I didn't know what they were until everybody came back from that first Houston contest. Mm-hmm. And so people from Corpus went up there and they came back with these badass pads because we're all riding those ridiculous Rectors at the time that, wouldn't protect, hell anything.
Rector the non-protector. Except the Fat Boys. Those are amazing pads.
Those were pretty good pads. But so huge giant ramp, a lot of Texas skateboarding is associated with those ramps, Skate Park of Houston. So we'll talk about the first time you actually skated the Kahuna.
Your first drop in on the Kahuna.
Yeah, so your first time you dropped in.
This is the last time I'm going to bring up the way I remember things. I don't remember so much my first drop in. I remember skating it, and I was little. I didn't weigh anything, so.
You were tiny, and you had braces.
Yeah.
And you were super cute.
Yes, that's how it went down.
So what's the difference now? He just doesn't have braces?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
My hair's not as long either.
Okay. Well, he had longer hair. You still have all of your hair.
I do still. Well, I might be balding a little.
Yeah.
It's just getting gray, and which is foxy, I think.
Yeah. Well, don't confuse balding with bad haircuts. All right, we can fix that.
Okay,
I got you.
This guy and his haircuts. But yeah, just watching the people that I got to watch grow up in Houston and skateboard. I mean, that's what made my experience with skateboarding so amazing. Like, I got to grow up and watch Ken Fillion, Gene Hare, Todd Prince, Troy Chasen, which is that guy is a mind blower.
Frank Gardner.
Well, we're talking about the Kahuna, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Frank Gardner was in my, like, that's who I skated. That's who I'd go session with is Frank. Like, me and Frank have had many sessions. Those days it was like me, Frank, Kit, this guy Joe, Jeff Glass, P-Dub, like Brian, like
Pennington. Don't forget Dave Nielsen,
Donaldson. I want to talk about Kahuna.
Yeah,
like watching Todd and John Gibson and everybody that would come in from Dallas, like. I mean, it was, I was really young when the Kahuna was still there. And so watching Ken and Troy, like those were some of my favorites that
Me
were
too.
Locals on the Kahuna, just power and just, I mean, just like, I think Troy Chasen's one of my favorites.
He's one of my all time favorites. And so is Ken, because like, Ken is small, but he fucking blasted airs on every ramp that he skated.
Yeah, I love Ken Fillion. I tried to put out a skateboard magazine when I was living in D.C., and I have like a 3-hour-long phone interview with Ken Fillion. And, of course, not all of that made it to the pages, but it's pretty... Right. Like, Ken Fillion's pretty much a comedian. I don't know.
He's hilarious, dude.
And
can we get a copy of that?
I don't know. I'd have to find it. I don't even know if he would let me... I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. But I got the magazine and what made the magazine, and that's still definitely available. But yeah, tapes, like, and of course I was just drunk, but I mean, the conversation went on for a couple hours, and it was great stuff. Ken Fillion,
cheers on that.
Troy Chasen, like, it was the Texas skateboarding in Houston. I love it. It's like, right. I got to watch people that, you know, skateboarding in Texas have always gone hand and foot, if that makes sense.
It, like,
we're never going to be California, but guess what? We're never going to want to be California.
We don't want to be California.
So, I mean, what
no,
I got
no offense
up,
to California or skaters from California. It's just we're from Texas, man.
Right?
That's it.
And so yeah, watching the people that were skating that, the Kahuna, I mean, that's what probably kept me skateboarding to go and skate what I ended up skating.
Right.
And those dudes,
becoming the person I am.
How did you feel when you showed up as a Grom and you were skating with Ken and Troy, and maybe Danny Webster was there too, or you know, did they welcome you?
Well,
because
he's got foreign issues, like, so there's always
he's British, so
yeah, but there's always that kind of
but our
language,
guys, guys, they were so sweet to us.
We were
skateboarders. And supportive, yeah. Like, and it was, and we'd go skate. What about the Vagabond? Do you remember skating Vagabond with a bunch of those guys?
I've got great pictures from that place. I mean, the Houston, I mean, it's skateboarding everywhere. That's the great thing about skateboarding. The community in skateboarding is like, it's like the only place you can go where you're got a 60 year old guy and a 15 year old kid, and it's not creepy, you know. It's like fuck,
it's
yeah.
True.
Like,
it's true. It's
that's
it's,
the
it's,
deal.
It's
skateboarding's
cool.
A fucking
yeah.
community that yep. we're like, we'll take care of each other. You know,
yeah.
You can go. Any of us could go anywhere and be like, hey, Peter Frenay told me to call you, and I'm in Arizona. And he's like, oh yeah, come stay at my house. We're gonna go skate pools in the morning. Like, that's skateboarding,
right?
Well, since you just mentioned him, and he's your friend, and I don't know him, and I don't think Hondo knows him. God.
It's okay. By the way, everybody, my real name is Ty, T-Y. I'll spell it for you. But I go by Hondo, so it's interchangeable.
Okay.
Should I be saying Hondo?
You can call me whatever you want to call me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So
you can just call me Brett.
Brett.
Or a number of other things. Yeah. Like, we text each other in the morning. Hey, man. Like, asshole, what are you doing? All right, so you can drink my whiskey. That's fine.
It's bourbon.
It's bourbon. My bad, Hondo.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forget.
I forgot what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, the Kahuna was amazing. It was watching Gene Hare, Prince, Chasen, you know, Gibson.
Yeah, Gibson, Ken. Yeah. That was my favorite session when John Gibson and Ken and Troy were all there together.
Yeah.
Because they all blasted. Troy was, he was the nicest guy to me. When I was a kid, he was very like, come skate, come over here, crawl up here, drop in, go ahead.
Troy Chasen is the nicest guy.
Yeah, and I haven't talked to him.
And he's got two different colored eyes. He might also be one of the sexiest skateboarders ever.
Well, I thought it was Hank.
Those curls. Oh, Hank's got nothing on Troy.
Oof.
Whatever, man.
I'm just calling it how I see it.
Sure. No, that's all okay, man. You know, I'm not. This isn't a beauty contest.
I didn't think it was.
No, it isn't. Thank God. Thank God.
Sorry about that. Y'all.
I'd win.
Whatever, dude.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Sexy.
Just keep plugging, buddy. So
easy. I'm baiting over here.
Yeah, watch out. So, you know, Brett, so this is, you know, so this time frame would be, so let's say 85 to what, 90?
Yeah. I mean, 90s got rough.
90s got rough. You moved here. I moved here.
Yeah. Well, I moved to Austin in 91.
Yeah.
Yep. So, 90s, I think the park was falling apart. I don't think I was going there.
Well, Vert died in the 90s for a little while.
Vert died anyway, yeah.
And it was all eight-inch boards, 7.5, 8-inch. Yeah.
42-millimeter wheels, bearing covers.
Yeah. I've got these rad 42s, man. They're just larger than the bearings.
Yeah, my pants are baggy.
I've done a lot of things wrong in my life, but I never did that. So
bulky skate shoes, super bulky skate shoes. Like DC had the most humongous giant moon boot skate shoes.
Those big giant padded tongues that made my feet go to sleep because it cut off the circulation to the veins at the top of my feet. So you get to Austin in the early 90s, and were you skating at that time?
I mean, yeah, I think I've always skated. There's been times where I didn't skate, but I don't know. I don't know how to. I've always kind of skated.
You were always skated.
If you give me a vert ramp, I'll go skate it.
Well, there was the 51st ramp, and you and
my ramp. And your lady. Or that was Lewis Gardner's ramp I put in my backyard.
Right.
No, yeah. I mean, I was skating. I got here, so when I couldn't go to small boards and wheels and big shorts, I tried singing for a band.
Echoing Green.
And that was a lot of fun.
I think we played a couple shows together.
Yeah, we did some rock and roll. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Music's a great thing. That's also a very important thing in life.
Yeah, it's very ingrained in skateboarding too. Yeah.
So being a drummer myself and Hondo is a musician as well, Brett. We've all had our
I play the best. Right, yeah. I'm the best.
I want to give a shout out to a local band, Sabbath Crow, which is our buddy
Jeff Chavez.
Jeff Chavez. McBride.
I love that guy.
He's the drummer for Sabbath Crow, and apparently they are doing very well in the music scene. I haven't seen them in a while.
I think they just played last night at King's Fest.
Did they?
Yeah.
I think.
What, Brett, what's King Fest?
So this Doug King's a great individual who is a great asset to skateboarding.
He's sort of like the Dennis Epinette of concrete in West Austin or Spicewood, right?
Yeah, sure. We can use that. Yes, right it's his birthday, and they do this big festival every year, and it just gets bigger and bigger. He does it to raise money to buy more concrete for his property, which is brilliant. Uh-huh. And it's getting huge.
Compound. Yeah.
It's getting really big, and yeah, the compound's really. You know, I was kind of gone. I moved back in, I guess, 2015 to Texas, and that had already started. And like when I left, Doug's place wasn't going. I mean, I think he probably had the land, but it wasn't going. It's Doug's birthday, and you should celebrate Doug King. Everyone celebrate Doug King. And then you just, you know, you pay what you can. I think.
Yeah, donations.
I'm sure a lot of people slip through the. Through the water or whatever.
Well, there's guys who
a lot of people don't.
There's guys who don't
because
have
they want
a lot of money to throw in, so they'll go out there and they'll shape concrete and they'll pour and they'll hang out and do what needs to be done. It's like Doug's place is the epitome of the DIY.
By the way, happy birthday, right? Doug.
Happy birthday, Doug. So it's a really cool thing, and unfortunately, I could not go this year. I mean, we could do a whole podcast about why we don't go and do certain things. But
you had a gig last night.
I had a gig last night. Yeah. I had a rehearsal on Friday, and we had plans to work on your ramp here at the North Austin studio, in the back of the North Austin studio. And we couldn't make it this year, and I don't typically camp at those type of places anyway.
He's old.
And
yeah, we're old.
Prefer to have my...
sleep in your bed.
Sleep in my bed with my cat and my Netflix and my...
Is cat, like, secret for something else? Or is
no, he literally has a pet cat.
I have a rescue cat. I call her my cancer kitty.
That was your rescue cat.
Got her years ago when I was kind of sick, so... Yep.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet. It's cat hair all over the damn place, but you know, whatever.
Oh, cat. I have two cats, and yeah.
So, you and I met. Did we meet like at the skate park, through, or did we meet at Surf House, or was it through like Jason Espeseth, or?
I mean, I don't. I can't answer that question. I don't.
You don't
know
remember? Yeah, I don't.
How
either.
We met? I don't.
Yeah,
know.
I just remember we would skate out at the skate park a lot. We'd show up at the same time.
I know. Once I met you, I liked you, and then we became friends.
Absolutely.
I don't
absolutely.
Know. But actually, I guess it wasn't this grand. Like, we met. I don't know.
I thought
probably
it was.
Easy Seven skating Easy Seven.
Yeah, did
I mean,
you?
I
did
didn't skate there a ton because it wasn't really my.
Well, yeah, you were
I think
Vert
that's
guy,
probably,
right?
That's probably, but yeah, but I'd go skate that. I think that's probably where I think I first met you.
Yeah, or Trade Winds,
let's talk about Trade Winds.
Let's talk about Trade Winds. So Trade Winds was a roller rink, and I believe it was on 43rd Street, kind of in the Oak Forest in the 43rd.
That's correct,
right? And so on Wednesday nights, thank you. And so on Wednesday nights, Trip, you remember Trip?
Yeah,
Trip was the Oak Forest local sound man extraordinaire. He actually went on tour with Dionne Warwick's Psychic Friends Network tour. Trip passed away about 10 years ago. Not sure why. He had a lot of things going on in his life, you know, and but he was always a huge supporter of skateboarding and music in the Houston scene. And so he would sort of MC this free session where they had about a 3 foot high old school launch ramp, right? And they'd put it in the middle of the rink.
On the fucking disco floor.
On the disco fucking skate floor with the ball going and punk rock music playing. On occasion, Don Downing would MC. And so shout out to Don. I saw Don about 3 or 4 years ago at Arthur's funeral. It was good to see him. Don's doing well. But also, there was a 9 foot
vert
ramp that was 16 or 12. Wasn't it 12 feet wide?
I don't think it was 12 feet wide. It's 16, but it was wall to wall closed in.
Right.
One full wall, one kicked wall.
Right. And then there was the Margaret's ramp, which was Joe Palermo's sister. Joe was like the most badass vert roller skater in Houston at the time. And he would always just fly off that ramp in the back.
Be crab-legged?
No, he skated side to side.
Okay.
Then they built the 12-foot wide, 4-foot high, which is exactly the ramp that I was talking about, which is, you know, exactly like your ramp. That was right behind the platform on the 9-foot ramp. So Wednesday night, there was a launch ramp in the middle, punk rock music playing, disco ball going, some crazy fucking skater from the neighborhood MCing, and then people skating mini ramp and vert ramp in the back. And they did that on Wednesday night from like, was it like 6 to 10 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it was Wednesday night, but then I think then we also, I feel like we could skate the vert ramp
you
anytime,
skate,
right?
You could skate the vert ramps anytime, and they also would have a skateboard-only lock-in every once in a while on a Friday or Saturday night.
Lock-in, God. Yeah. They do that lock-ins. Anymore?
I mean, they better.
I mean,
lock-ins rule.
Y'all got kids. I mean, because I don't know they did that anymore.
I don't lock my. The only place I lock my kids into
is in the closet.
Is there?
But I think lock-ins is a great thing for the youth.
Yeah, we had something very similar in Corpus.
Camps.
Well, yeah,
that's
I don't
different.
Know. Yeah, every lock-in that I ever did with my church youth group, which
you would bring your bong.
Did you say, what was that word?
Church, youth group, utes.
Did you say utes? Sorry, I had to go there.
The guys would always, once they called lights out and we were in our sleeping bag, we would try and centipede or wiggle our way over to where the girls were sleeping and try and kiss them. We always got busted. So I'm not sending my daughter to any lock-ins, dude. See, we have daughters. Brett and I have teenage daughters.
We have daughters.
And we have sons as well. We have sons and daughters. And I think I've lost about 800 hairs permanently since my daughter turned 13 from the top of my head.
Well, but you only had like 1,000 left, bro.
Did I say that I lost 800?
Yeah.
Yeah, I only have 1,600 total.
Okay. Oh, so you're definitely half.
I'm half.
All right, so, yeah.
You going to stand up?
I am. Is that okay? Yeah, can you do that?
As long as you speak into the microphone, talking to your banana.
I'm going
to
make it the right height.
Well, it only goes a certain, that's about right there.
Yeah, you got it.
I got it. Don't worry about me.
So who do you still skate vert quite a bit, right? You travel, you go back to Virginia, and you do a thing with some guys that you were became really good friends with when you lived up there?
Well, I wouldn't say I skated. I don't skate enough for me. I wish I skated more, but responsibility. It's amazing I've become responsible in my life. That's one thing I'm very proud of.
No, you haven't.
It's mind-blowing.
But you still skate, and that's important.
Yeah. So I did move to, I guess I lived in Virginia, D.C. area for 13 years. And, yeah, they have a great skate scene.
A lot of vert ramps up north, right?
They weren't all there when I was there, but they're there now. But,
They seem to have more than we have down here, it seems.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Because I don't know of any other than Doug's and Isaac's. Yeah. And Isaac's is out of commission for another couple
months. When I moved from Utah to D.C., one person said, just find Jaime Stepula. And I didn't find Jaime. I found Josh Marlowe instead. But I told Josh I needed to find Jaime. And he's like, okay. And then once I found Jaime, like everything, then I got introduced to Sam Boo, which is, hey, Sam Boo, you might not ever hear this, but I love you dearly.
Well, dude, if you'll go send, you know, the link to this podcast to all your buddies up north,
we'll show you
then they will hear it.
Yeah, we'll show you that'll expand
our audience, so we'd appreciate it if you fucking do that. Thanks.
Yeah, we could always do phone interviews, too.
That's true. We're going to set that up, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll get Sam Boo on this show. So the scene, like, moving back home was really exciting. I did that in 2015, but I had made such a great skate, and it was my older age skate crew, you know?
Right.
And so I still, to this day, I miss it. So, yes, I still try to go back just for a weekend to go skate vert ramps with him.
Right on.
Like, it's that much fun. Riding with Sam Boo, Bob Pribble, Matt Dove, which will blow your mind. Derek,
Derek who?
Derek Caracas.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm horrible at saying his name. But I love him. He knows I love him. I love you, Derek. DK. I just like to call him
DK.
I just like to call him Derek.
DK.
I mean, it goes on and on. Like, the East Coast, I was there for 13 years, and it was amazing. Like, that's, North Carolina, the skate scene's just as strong there as it is anywhere else, you know.
It's pretty much worldwide, it seems like, now with the mainstream.
Before now,
I'm saying
Virginia Beach, you already had the good, you have Henry
Trashmore
and his that was, you know, well, you have the Forks, the Daggers,
and then
the DC, we had to come up with the Glitters.
Glitter,
yeah, we had to come up with our own team name, and they were already the Forks and the Daggers. So and Jaime Stepula's like
the
we're
Daggers,
fucking
Daggers,
the Glitters.
But it was a bunch of tough
guys.
Yeah, but it wasn't like y'all gonna fight. You're just gonna show up and be like,
no. It's like the movie.
Warriors.
The Warriors. It's like we showed up. So once a year there'd be this big event, Corn Fest. And
where was that?
It was in North Carolina.
Okay.
At Mark Corbett's backyard, which is an amazing piece of work.
It's a vert ramp.
It's a bowl. No, it's a bowl, but it's got vert and oververt and pool coping. All Sweet. The things you really want.
All those things you really want.
So it was, I don't know what year it is. I'm horrible about chronological things. And But we're going. It's me and Jaime and Matt Dove and maybe this guy Ben's in the car, which is a mind-blowing skateboarder. He's kind of like, to me, he's like a younger Mark Gonzalez. Like, he's just brilliant. And yeah, we had to be something. They were the forks and daggers, and so Jaime's like, we're gonna be the glitters. So we're the glitters.
That's nice. I like flake glitter. I like that. It's sparkly.
I mean, we might have even won, bitches.
Your helmet's gold flake. It's a beautiful helmet.
Well, I've stuck. I was really. I'm proud to be a glitter.
Like, sure.
I'm very happy for my days in D.C. and or on the East Coast. And Jaime is an amazing individual, and I love that guy.
And how did you come to skate for Cockfight Skateboards?
Well, I've known Mike Neiman as well.
Growing up, that's probably Houston. You probably met Mike over at Easy 7.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. So about... We went on this trip to North Carolina because there's all these backyard pools that you can skate, and you can rent out a condo that's got a backyard in it that you can just stay there, that's on the beach. And me living on the East Coast, he came in and said, hey, we got this idea about putting a Brett Roper model out on this. And I'm like, that's just the worst idea. And Kevin, who's the other part of Cockfight, was like, yeah, why would we do that? That sounds like a horrible idea too. But it worked, and now Cockfight's 10 years strong or something.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's on me. I'm just saying
it was definitely not. But you're a part of it. I mean,
I'm very proud to be a part of it. Mike Neiman.
It's really cool because Mike is an awesome dude. I love that guy. He's one of my favorite guys from the old neighborhood, and he's done very well for himself. Made a lot of good decisions, and his son is awesome. And Cockfight is one of my favorite companies.
Yeah, well,
I don't ride the boards. Because
you have.
Sure, I have. Well, you gave me a couple. I have. Yeah, I've got a Hubba, and I've got the Lone Star logo.
Yeah.
So I have those.
Just buy Cockfight boards. That's what you should do. Unless you're really big, then just buy Cockfight boards.
Well, are you talking about voluptuous?
I mean,
so he looked right at me and he said, really big. I appreciate that, man.
Big Texas skateboards. Big Texas skateboards. I ride voluptuous. This board that Hondo gave me for Christmas last year, I've had it for a year, and today I just put a new one together. I'll put a pick up because it's the one graphic, the one print.
It's one of a kind.
It is a one of a kind. He destroyed the screen last night after, or the other day after we printed it. He pulled the fucking screen and karate chopped it in half, threw it in the trash can.
They call me Bruce.
They call him Hondo Bruce.
Hondo.
Sorry, they call me Bruce too.
Bruce Hank or Hondo Bruce?
Hondo Bruce.
I kind of like Hondo Calrissian. That's awesome. If you're a Star Wars fan.
So on a very special edition of Low Hanging Fruit. Chase goes for Hondo Calrissian. I mean, come on.
Nobody's ever said that.
Yeah, of course they have. Oh, of course they have.
God.
I mean, it's like any kid who could say Lando Calrissian, you will always say Hondo.
Hondo Calrissian. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
I've never said that.
Brett's never said that.
We could cut your mustache to like a low-profile Billy D. Williams
little
mustache.
Frenchy mustache. Oh, yeah. Maybe, if you can resurrect Carrie Fisher, man, we could fucking totally do that.
Well, dude, don't feel bad because, you know, I'm not saying you look like Billy D. Williams, but people always
told
me.
Boy, if I did. If I did, man, shit, I wouldn't be sitting here with you two freaks.
Do you remember the Colt 45 ad he did?
I do remember the Colt.
He was sitting in a round booth at a bar with these ladies, and they had the what do you call that?
Where do you think they got the idea for the most interesting man in the world ads?
Right.
That's exactly where they got those ideas from.
Right.
Billy D. Williams, dude. That dude. I mean, hey, man. That dude. I mean, I don't know how he's doing today, but he's still making movies, so I'm pretty sure he's doing really well. But that dude was the shit.
He was awesome.
I mean, that dude was like just dripping cool. Like, hey,
you remember the movie with him and Sylvester Stallone called Nighthawks?
Are you sure that was Billy D. Williams?
Yeah, it wasn't Carl Weathers.
Are you sure it was Billy?
Absolutely.
Are you sure it wasn't Gregory Hines?
No, it wasn't Gregory Hines. No.
You're positive it wasn't
absolutely
Gregory Hines?
100% positive. Because they were caught. He runs around the corner and the dude slashes him in the cheek.
I thought it was the one where he did. I thought it was the one where he did tap dancing.
Oh, no. That was the one with Mikhail Gorbachev.
I think it was called Reds.
Running Scared. Oh, no. That was right. No, that was a different one. No, I, I know all these movies.
Oh, you fucker.
Like Billy Dee Williams. Well, that's okay, man, because people say that I look like Anthony Michael Hall from
Weird Science.
Weird Science. Yeah. And I don't think
especially that if you, especially I, if you put a bra on your head.
Do you have one?
No, I don't have a bra.
I used to have one hanging from a ceiling fan, but I graduated from that about 1994.
Oh, my God. This is devolving into bullshit. I love it. So okay. So you've moved off to Virginia, North Carolina.
Yeah, I think we should talk about the hurricane.
Skated all around. Years? But you get back to Austin, and you get back to Austin at some point. We can talk about hurricane all you want.
Talk about whatever you want, Roper.
Right, we talk about whatever you want. But what I want to hear is what you want to say.
Oh boy, that was way too much on my shoulders. I need more whiskey.
Yeah, I got more, man.
We've heard when you started skating. We know that you know Houston was a gigantic scene.
It was
amazing. When we were growing up. There was just so much terrain and so many different things, and we all had our encounters with security guards at all the different places that we love to skate. Do you remember that place called Bronson Quarter?
Yep.
That little, it was the back of a building, and it was a parking lot, and it had just a small one wall, straight transition about a 30 degree angle with a curb on top.
Right.
And we used to go from my neighborhood all the way out to West Houston just to skate that for like an hour.
Yeah.
There's so many cool little spots everywhere. The ramp that we were trying to remember that was in the woods.
Yeah, we were talking about Alan. Yeah.
That was, whose ramp was that was out in the woods out west
so
Houston?
Are we talking about the church ramp?
I'm not sure. It was out in the middle of the woods, and it was an Spring Branch maybe somewhere.
So this ramp's amazing because this is a lot of Dave Donaldson, Dave Pillow, Brian Pennington and David Nielsen's. Yeah, like,
that's the one.
And so I'm skating this a lot. It's really close to I live far west Houston, almost to Katy. And yeah, this place is amazing. It's in the tennis courts, abandoned tennis courts that on a property that a church owns, but I don't know.
Like The Lord said, let them skate.
Let this be the devil's quarters or something, you know? Because Dave Pillow and Dave Dahl's in there, so you know the devil was there.
Yeah. I used to hang out with Dave, and we go around and skate little places and do devilish things.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that ramp was, skateboarding is just so amazing. So I'm still, when I'm skating, that's 13, 14, when mm-hmm. I'm first get introduced to this ramp, and it's like in the middle of the woods, you go park here because it's not like a skate park. But it's a viable source of skateboarding it's like a backyard pool, but it's a backyard vert ramp.
Right.
Like it's hidden in church property.
It's a secret. Yeah.
Like, and the only reason went away is not because of police, it's because people vandalism. It got burnt down.
Yeah.
Because it got too well known. People that didn't skateboard started coming there. And that's my story.
I think the Christians burned it down.
Jesus burned it down. They burned the devil's playground down.
It was too close to evil.
Yeah.
Too close to God.
Too close to evil.
There wasn't enough. No, I can't say that.
You can say whatever you want.
I'm not gonna say that though.
We tend to stay away from as much as we can political and religious discussions.
This is a secular podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a society.
On Sunday. It's a secular podcast.
It is the society and culture category, and actually we are at this point ranked number 103 out of 7,000 or 8,000. Podcast in the society and culture category. So we're doing
so. Everybody, make sure you send this link out because the more exposure we can get, the more exposure skateboarding gets.
That's right. And you get to listen to the most interesting people in the world.
Well,
which is not me.
Which is not Chase.
give me something over there.
Which one?
I don't care. Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Or we go.
We like that one.
Yeah, we like that one too.
Yeah,
man. So I noticed, so we you came over to Brush Creek about a month or two ago. We had a little contest over there. We got some knee pads for you.
Yeah.
That were way too big. We strapped them on. But man, you were doing some beautiful front side grinds. So my question now is now that we made, so we modified those knee pads, they fit better. You've been going on some skate trips lately. And I know you skated the big, giant, 60-foot-wide Houston vert ramp.
Holy shit. Please
talk about that. Thank you.
Let's talk about that.
I've got a 571 number, and I was like, hey, guys, does Ken Fillion know this thing's here? And they're like, he hasn't been here.
Shit.
So I texted him. I was like, show up at the vert ramp. But he probably, I mean, he's cool guy to me. I don't know how much cool guy. I mean, I'm going to go on a limb and say we are friends, but. He might not have my number anymore, but
well, dude, whatever. You the friends that you made back in the day will always be your friends.
Right? Yeah, I agree with that.
So this thing's amazing. So kudos to Jason Espeset.
Let me Espeset.
Espeset.
Don't
correct me on the air. No, and
I didn't want anyone to think that you were talking about somebody else because there's a different guy named.
Oh, that's because I was going with Dennis
Sesbanath.
And Jason. Okay.
Yeah, well, see, we got a lot of guys whose
names
sound the same.
Can we edit this part?
No, we're not editing shit. Okay, this is all natural. So Jason Espeseth.
Exactly.
And
you don't have to say it again. The other dude's name is. I know it.
The ramp's fucking amazing.
So you can go. You can go
and find
this ramp.
Everything that's going down there is it's 60 feet wide. It's 13 feet tall. It's CNC metal frame cut. God. It's under a roof that probably costs more than the whole project to put together.
Right. Well, I was looking at some of the posts that were on the Instagram page, and they used screw jacks to level it all up. I mean,
it's because it has to be hurricane proof.
Right, hurricane proof.
But, I mean, it passes all inspections. Amazing. I got to see Mark Roach.
Wow.
I got to hang with all my other Houston friends.
That's cool.
Yeah, I want to skate that ramp. I'm going next weekend, by the way. If anyone hears this, I'm going to go see Kurt Vile and Dinosaur Jr. next weekend in Houston and skate the vert ramp.
Wow. Cool. And so the you can find the Houston Vert Ramp on Instagram, and it's Houston Vert Ramp. The other owner's name is Scott. And that doesn't have.
And shout outs to you, Scott, too.
Yeah, Scott and Jason.
I just don't know you that well yet.
It's an amazing structure.
If you're a vert skater of any kind, a 60 foot wide vert ramp with 11 foot transitions.
2 feet of vert?
2 feet of vert.
Yes.
13 feet tall.
But perfect.
Right.
They're cut by a machine.
Cut. That is insane.
And the roll-ins are 18 feet high.
The only person that's going to do that is Ken, and I don't think he's been there yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to do it.
No, you ain't.
Are you going to roll in on that?
Yes,
are you
going to
roll in on that? On the big one? The one on the Which one are you going to roll in? The one in the center?
Okay. The big one.
Let me correct myself. Anyone that's going to roll in and then do something,
and then do something other than like transfer to the top, or
other than
bail.
Die. I didn't say I was going to do anything. I just said I'm going to roll in.
So
I'll go to knees at the flat bottom if I make it, and then I'll maybe just try and turn. But there's going to be too much speed. I'll just deck transfer the first time if I make it. But I'm going to do it.
Yeah, the thing's amazing. The first time I got to skate it, I went to Houston with a friend from here and to meet up with some other friends in Houston. It was all a pool mission because there's lots of pools in Houston as well. Yeah. And then we had some Mexican food. And by the time we showed up there, it was kind of late, and it doesn't have the layer on it yet. And I think Dozer's with a broken foot or something. And I'm like, oh no, I don't need to sign a waiver. And then I drop in after the Mexican restaurant. I think I was pretty tipsy, and Doe's just like, "Oh, you need to sign a waiver." But skateboarding doesn't need waivers from skateboarders. We know that.
No,
but it's good anyway.
It's dangerous.
But on the more up and up part of this conversation is that ramp is so amazing for Texas skateboarding. Like it is. It's a great piece of work. Like,
so what is the plan?
I don't know their plan.
You don't know the plan?
But the plan is, my plan is I'm going to go skate it a bunch. I'm going this weekend to go skate it. And I mean, that's my plan. I hope they want to do more with it. I mean, if not, they've already done enough for me.
Right.
Like, they're letting us skateboard. It's with some of my, like, Jason Espeth, that's one of my good yeah, friends. And yeah, that guy freaking rips.
Dude.
Like nobody. Like, he was, I mean, he rips.
Yeah, well, he was in the same class as Pennington. Well, I mean, Pennington's, nobody skates like Brian, dude. Like, the shit that he was doing back to H Street days, right, on all the Dennis's stuff at skate park. But Jason had that. It kind of reminds me of Rob Myers' style, Chris Miller style,
okay,
Jason
Espeth, surfy, flowy
style, just style and pulling shit off, right?
Yeah, Jason Espeth, that's what happens when you make someone, when it is Saturday, Sunday, so I'm gonna bring in God just to fuck it up.
Geez.
So it's when God gives someone so much brain power and so much
physical ability.
Yeah. I don't know if he believes in God. I don't even know what
Who cares? Anymore. Stop talking about God.
My point is, he's got his own style of his own. Like, he's an amazing skateboarder.
Well, you brought up style with and you mentioned Pennington, right? So there's some
that's got style that no one has. Like, he's his own. He's right. Chasing. Like, I mean, he's got his own thing.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's certain people do certain things, and like, they do it differently than anybody else. But yet, it's you know, it's still like I'll give you an example. There was some footage that was posted of Pennington at the Kahuna or the Hurricane. It was blue and super wide.
Hurricane.
His frontside grinds, all by themselves, are in a league of their own. And he was just doing frontside grinds. I was like, my God, that's amazing the way he does those things. I've never seen anybody do a frontside grind like him ever. So when you're talking about style, there's certain things that people do, and the way they do them, it's like, that's just incredible. Every time I see it, I'm like, that's fantastic. Yeah. I wish I could do it that way.
That's one thing I've never really had, style.
No?
Like, Roper, you have an awesome style. I love going to skate with you at Isaac's.
Well, it's because your arms are so long, dude. It just, they kind of hold, they kind of weigh you down.
You know, I don't know. Just, I'm big. You'd
look good doing an eggplant. Maybe you should try to do one of those.
Learn eggplants. God,
yeah, learn eggplants.
Why?
Oh, they're scary as hell. Why would anybody want to do an eggplant?
I have 13 screws and a rod in the eggplant arm. There's no way I could ever do that. I'm 80 years old. I can't. Can you give me, how about a sweeper?
All right.
Okay. Well,
I could do a sweeper. Okay.
You can live with that style.
Whatever.
I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad we're skateboarding. We're fucking skateboarding.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah,
it doesn't
matter.
Yeah. Right.
So
it doesn't matter.
Style is good.
We're
40 plus years old. So.
I will say.
Back to the Houston skate vert ramp scene.
Yeah. Let's go back.
It's about to fucking blow up. Like that.
Yeah.
Thing
again.
The ramp or the whole scene everywhere.
I mean.
That's the best ramp I've ever seen in my life, other than the animal chin ramp, which I think was not engineered which was not engineered probably as well as this Houston vert ramp.
So I don't know their plans, what they're going to do with it. I'm just glad that they let me skate it.
Right.
Because it's amazing. I think people will start coming. It's kind of like that movie, Field of Dreams.
Yeah, if you build it, they will come.
Because it's built. So, hey, children, come.
So it's not, but it's, let's be clear though, it's not just the vert ramp that's there. Don't they have a mini ramp?
Jason built a mini ramp that's outside, not covered.
Okay.
It's a little fun.
Hubba's ramp.
It is Hubba's ramp, and we were actually going to go skate that last time I was in Houston because Jason lives six houses down from Allen. And Jason and Allen and I were buddies back in the day, and Allen and I wished we could skate like Jason, but we just couldn't. But that's awesome that those guys.
What I just got through saying is no one skates like Jason.
Right. I didn't say we did, ass wipe. I said we wished.
Why does all of a sudden it went there? Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I wish I could do Krail slides like you. I bet 100 other people wish they could do Krail slides like you, but nobody can.
Yeah, but 10,000 people do.
That's, well, but dude, you do it the best, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that because I want to make out with you or you're my long
time
friend.
You should look at him in the eye when
you
tell him.
I'm just saying they're fast. You skate fast. Here's the thing about you. Did he fart?
No, he wanted you to caress his hand.
Here, give it to me. I'll hold your hand. I want to hold your hand. I love you. God, you have manly hands, and so you have beautiful hands.
I have beautiful hands.
Apparently from
Constance was telling me I had
Brett's got hairy hands. See, I don't have hairy hands at all.
maybe you should start.
Hold on. My palms are hairy.
I knew you were going to make that 13-year-old boy, you jerk off, you got hair in the palm of your hand joke.
Jerk off?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just part werewolf.
You're part werewolf?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know when the next full moon is, but I can certainly get Brett to drop his pants. And then, you know, you're fully mooned.
That's not hard to do. Hey, I got to wait till he gets the headphones back on. He's getting a beer, but I'd like to tell a story.
He can hear you.
I'd like to tell a story about one night. Can I tell the fire station story? Yeah, it's real recent. Can I tell it?
You got 5 minutes. Tell it.
Oh,
let me start by saying Mud Honey rules.
Say Sugar Shack. Can I tell the story
not? I don't. Yeah.
Okay, dude. I've told you. You've heard the story. I told you probably 30 minutes after I got home at 4 a.m. I called you.
Yeah.
It was the next day. Yeah.
So
Brett and our buddy Wes Hunter, who's a super ripper. Dude rips everything he skates.
From Texas.
I skated with him at a contest at the T-Heads in Corpus Christi, Texas, and he won, and nobody knew who he was because I think he lived in Portland or some other little town outside.
Oh, really?
Outside. Yeah.
You had an experience with him before Texas?
He's from that place that Ryan Smith's from. What is it?
Corpus Christi, Texas?
No, it's not Corpus. It's like...
Rockport, Texas? No. Ingleside, Texas?
No.
Is it Texas?
It's Texas. I just said he's from Texas.
But which it's Ryan like, Smith are you talking
like,
about?
It's like
Beeville.
He's from Beeville.
Beeville. Yeah. So here, I'm going to tell the story real quick. Did you get me a beer or did you not?
No, yours is full.
Yours is half full.
I'll get you one.
No, it's all good. I want you to hear me tell the story about you.
See, this is amazing because now you only got 4 minutes.
Yeah, I got it. We can go over.
Now we can go over.
So,
are we running out of time?
So. Brett calls and he's like, "Hey, dude, do you want to go?"
Hold on, I'll pull my finger real quick though.
Caress his finger and pull it at the same time.
I can't hear anything. I have headphones. You have to put your butt up to the microphone if you want to hear.
His face is beat red though. He was trying.
He was squeezing. Did you squeeze? I hope you didn't shit yourself.
Did you shart?
All right. So Brett calls me up and he goes, "Hey, man, do you want to go see Mud Honey?" And my initial response is, "Absolutely. It's one of my favorite bands forever." And Brett goes, "Well, I fucked up. I thought I was buying 4 tickets and I bought 8. So I got you." And I said, "All right, I'll come pick you up." And so he says, "Cool, that sounds good." So I go pick up Brett. And it's Wes. No, Wes isn't there. We go pick up Wes on the way. So we have a couple drinks at Brett's house, South Austin. We cruise over a little north of there to pick up Wes. We pick up Wes and we cruise downtown. And we're looking for a place to park. And Antone's is on 5th Street. They moved it again. So it's on 5th Street where it's impossible to park. Well, Brett's like, "Hey, I know a guy. And he works at that fire station right there." I said, "Okay, call him." So we get the hookup to go and park inside the gate in the employee fireman parking lot, right? And so we pull in there, and I'm thinking, "Okay, shit, how are we? Are we good? Are we cool? Is everything going to be good?" Brett's like, "Yeah, no worries, man. It's all good. So-and-so," I'm not going to mention his name for obvious reasons or whatever, but "Yeah, no, it's all good. We can park here." So, cool. So, we leave my truck inside the fence. We cruise over to Antone's, which is only half a block from the fire station, right?
It's a pretty good parking place.
It was a fantastic parking space. So, we go into the show. We have some drinks. Night's going on. I'm driving, so I'm kind of chilling, not drinking too much. And we see...
Tim Kerr's there.
Tim Kerr. I talked to Tim Kerr for a minute.
He's from Texas.
Yeah, he is from Texas. He was in the Monkey Wrench and the Big Boys. Was it Big Boys? What was Tim Kerr's?
I think he was in the Big Boys.
Was it Big Boys?
It was Big Boys, right?
Yeah. But was he also in Bad Mother Goose?
He was in Bad Mother Goose.
Okay.
He was also in Poison 13.
Poison 13.
Bottom line, he was in Big Boys. Don't confuse that one.
What?
He was in Big Boys. That's all we need to establish.
No, well, these are all local bands from back in the day that I used to listen to and go see. Anyway, so he's there, and I don't know why you fucking mentioned that. Did you talk to him?
Who?
Tim Kerr.
Yeah.
You did? Yeah, cool. Yeah.
He's I got a great picture of him and Steve Turner.
Oh, okay, cool. Tim also does a lot of cool skateboard art.
Can I take a sub-story?
No, wait till I'm done. And so we have a good time at the show. Brett buys a $30 Mud Honey poster. He also takes a picture up on stage of him and Mark Arm, singer and guitar player for Mud Honey. The photo was taken in Seattle when you were up there to see Mud Honey.
Sub Pop 30.
Okay. And so he throws that thing on stage. Mark Arm picks it up on stage and looks at it, and it says, "Say Sugar Shack" on it. Sugar Shack.
Say Sugar Shack.
Is a band from Houston, Texas.
Sugar Shack?
Some good friends of mine. Bands I played with in the past, and really rad garage punk band. And so the show, we see the Cherubs. The Cherubs open the show. What's up, Cherubs?
They're good.
Yeah, they're good.
They're about to play.
And so the
a really good show.
Yeah, they are. They're gonna play.
I think they're gonna open for Flipper.
With David Yow. Yep, that's coming up. So we see the show. The show's great. The show's over. Brett's wasted. I'm kind of 2 or 3 drinks in. Wes is feeling good. And so they decide to take off, and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm a block away in the fire department parking lot. I'll just go head on home. So Brett and
this is a long story.
So Brett, but just wait till the end, dude. Just wait, because you
that's what I don't want to hear.
I know you, because you probably don't even remember it. So I go and to get my truck and leave. And the fucking gate is locked, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, it's 2:15 in the morning. The firemen, maybe they're inside. Maybe they're sleeping. I don't know. My truck is locked inside the park. And Brett and Wes are gone. So I start calling and calling and calling and calling. I get nothing and nothing. And then finally, after about 30 minutes, Wes answers Brett's phone. And he's like, dude, we're in an Uber. We're headed south. I'm sitting there going, I can't get in the fucking gate. My truck's in the fire department. They're going to tow it in the morning because they don't know who I am. You guys are gone. Brett's like asleep in the back of the Uber, right? So the option was, well, we'll come get you. Wes said, we'll come get you, and then we'll just take you back in the morning, and Brett will call his friend who let us park there, and we'll just get you. And I'm like, fine, just come fucking get me because I'm standing downtown on Fifth Street. There's morons everywhere, blah, blah, blah. So you guys come back. We jump in the car. You're passed out in the back. You have no idea where your poster is. I don't think you had your glasses.
I don't
either.
Have the poster anymore.
Yeah, the poster is gone somewhere. Your glasses, I don't remember.
It didn't make it home.
So I get in the back of the car. I put your head in my lap. Ooh, and Wes is up front.
Kitty cat?
Oh. Wrong one. Sorry, shit.
I put your head in my lap. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
So we start to head back south towards your place, and we get about 6 blocks, and your phone starts going off, right? Your phone starts dinging, and so I look at it, and it's a text from said person who gave us permission to park in the thing, and I'm like, you fucking answer this, because I need to go and get my truck now. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. I don't want to sleep with you.
And I just said, leave me alone.
And so what ended up happening is we got the code to get into the gate at the fire department. So I said, okay, Uber driver lady.
Dumping the fire department.
I said, turn
the Austin
around.
Fire Department is a great, great
organization.
Absolutely. We thank you to all of our first responders.
Did that code expire?
And so, no. It was one of those 3 dials on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So we get the code. We tell the Uber driver, hey, you got to take us back. She gets pissed off, right? She's like, what's the deal? What's the deal? I don't driving around, but because it's probably peak hours, right? And she was about to charge y'all $80 to get home, about a seven-mile drive. It's 7.5 miles. And so I said, it doesn't matter. I got to get my truck. Turn the fuck around. She gets all mad. And Brett's in the back going, we'll give you weed. We'll smoke you out. She goes, I have more weed than I can deal with. I'm from New York, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, shit.
So, that's when I said, you don't have good weed.
Right.
So, should have looked at her and said, so?
So? So we get back to the thing. I jump out of the car, and the lady's totally pissed. And Wes is like, dude, man, could you take us home? And I'm like, absolutely, man. Let's drag Brett out of the fucking Uber, and I'll get you guys back to the place. So we blow off the Uber driver. She's pissed off. She peels off, takes off. We get in my truck. We lock the gate. Everything's cool. We drop Wes off at the house. So we get back to Brett's place. He's totally passed out with his feet up on my window.
This is why you keep good friends.
You're right. Thank you.
This is why you have good friends.
And so I drop Wes off. Wes's car's at your place, and he's like, dude, I'll fucking get it tomorrow. No worries. Don't even worry about it. Just get Brett home. I'm like, all right, cool. So I basically pull you out of the back of my truck, not the bed, but the back seat.
I'm starting to remember this. This is about to get really funny.
That's what I said. Wait till the end. I carry you up to the front door. I said, do you have your keys? And you're like, no, I don't know. I don't need them. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's by now it's 3:30 in the morning.
Just right? Open the door.
And he goes, but I left it unlocked. And I said, all right, dude, cool. So we go up to the door. Brett opens the door and the fucking alarm and the house alarm goes off. Woot, 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 woot. We don't have one on here, no, but we do like that. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, fucking. He's like, you got to turn it off. The code is blah, 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 blah. And so I go to hit the code, and I punch. It is a digital keypad, and I punch the first number.
And he's also
and
a moron.
I'm also a moron. It doesn't register. And so I go and hit the second number. No, you're not. We're all morons. And so the second number registers, and the third number registers, and the fourth one does, but the first one does, so the code's off, and we can't get it to stop. So the alarm is just going off, and I'm thinking, all right, dude, you know what? You're here. I don't have to be here. The cops are going to be here any fucking minute, so I'm going to let you deal with this, and you can find your glasses. I don't know where your poster is, but I'm fucking out, right? So I go out, and I get in my truck. As I get in my truck...
Sounds like a good friend.
The best. And as I get in my truck, and I turn around, I look at you. You're standing in the doorway.
Oh, don't tell this part of the story.
You're naked. You're peeing all over your front porch.
Whoa, whoa. Okay, now this part's not true.
And the home alarm is still going off. That's it.
Keep talking.
That's what came after. And you're standing there peeing, and I'm like, fuck, I'm still out, and I left. And I don't know what happened after that.
Because oh, I do.
You did the cops come or not?
No.
No, you were able to get the alarm off. So I came back in the next morning, and we found your glasses after about an hour. Poster was gone. We went to get some Mexican food, and that's the story.
Was that a good story?
It's a great story, man.
So I'm going to say
that was a story.
I'm going to step in.
I think he wants to.
I'm going to step in. It's just nicotine.
You should taste it though. It's just like a cupcake.
But I'm going to step in because that was a 10 minute story.
Captain Crunch.
Just that so you know. It was a 10 minute story. So I'm going to tell you a story now. And the story is, man, Brett, we really want to thank you for coming in today. Sitting down with us. You know, I know it's sometimes difficult to carve some time out of your day and come hang out with us, a couple of morons. But, man, you know, I've skated with you a couple of times over at Isaac's. My skills have certainly diminished, but yours are still mostly there. It's really fun skating with you, watching you skate too. Man, thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
This is great to be here at the Dropping In podcast. And
look at you.
I hope to be here again. And
we'll bring you back.
The great thing about we forget about life that we keep growing. You know, there's new beginnings.
He's getting deep,
man. So well, I'm gonna tell. Well, I'm gonna
love a deep.
I love a deep thing. After that story, you need to be deep, son. You need to hit it.
Things are beautiful at Dropping In Texas, and thank you. Thank you for having me, Ty.
Yeah, man.
Hondo.
Either way.
I like what y'all are doing. I love Chase, and
yeah, man, he's a good dude. Fucking weirdo, but good dude. Yeah, I love him.
He's odd.
So, but you know, I wanted to bring up. You'd mentioned something along the way earlier that you know, as we get older, you know, like when you moved out to Virginia, North Carolina, and all those places, that you met a lot of cool dudes through skating. Yeah, and I've noticed that as I've gotten older, and with all skating, with you know, skating, and you know, I've met a lot of. I mean, within the past 10 years, man, I've met a lot of really cool people that have become really good friends, really close friends, more of an extended family, if you will. You're absolutely right, man. If I need something, hey, man, anybody know anything? Anybody got a 16-foot trailer? Yeah, I got a 16-foot trailer. Hey, can I borrow it? Sure. You know.
Hey, skateboarders grow up, too.
Yeah, no. But we grow up and we do fucking awesome things, man.
Well, yeah, because we're skateboarders.
Right, right. Absolutely, because skateboarding taught us something along the way.
I mean, that's the great thing about skateboarding. As hard as they try, they're not going to kill us.
Right.
Like, even if they put us in the Olympics, we're not going to be.
Not going
like,
to go
that,
away.
That's not who we are.
That still doesn't deter me.
So we're 13-year-old skateboarders now at
47.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you our age, but.
46, you're, like, you're, 45, 44.
You're 46.
We're doing good for still being able to skateboard.
Yeah.
You mean we're doing good at life and we're doing good at skating, too.
We do create better circumstances for those that don't skateboard.
Skateboarding is a great thing. Right.
It is. It's amazing.
It's the reason. I keep saying it. Skateboarding is the reason. So.
Oof.
Yeah.
For me, sometimes baiting is the reason.
I thought it was plugging.
That too. All right. So before we roll out, man, let me just say thank you again to Voluptuous Surf House, Apparition Skate Shop, Buzz Bomb Skateboards, Clubhouse Skateboards, Cockfight Skateboards, Method of Thrashing Hard, Royal Tiger Tattoo, and Nostalgic Rags. We'll throw that in there. And the name of the other dude from the Houston Vert Ramp is Scott Arnebold. Arnebold.
Hey, Scott, thanks for what you're doing over there, man.
Yeah, man, sure. We really want to drop it in, wants to go and hang out at the big ramp and either just hang out or skate a little bit, whatever we can do. And also, up and coming event.
And Cockfight Skateboards.
Yeah, Cockfight, of course.
Well, he lives there.
Cockfight, because I forgot to mention him when he got all mad at me and he texted me. So I got a Cockfight. The Turkey Jam, the Surf House Turkey Jam is coming up at Easy 7, and it is always, every year, it is the Friday after Thanksgiving. And it's an all-day event. It's a neighborhood thing. It's super cool.
Family-friendly.
It's family-friendly.
How can it be friendly if you can't even say it?
It's family-friendly, and there are a couple of vendors that will be there, and I wanted to make sure that we give a shout out to our buddy Frank Gardner at Texican Skateboards in Houston. And also, talking about all the Houston crew, the guys that ripped back in the day, we got a shout out to Embassy as well, at Embassy Skateboards in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
So that's all I have, man. Thank you, Hondo, for being a part of this. Thanks for hanging out, Brett. I love you.
Hey,
dude.
Thanks for having
you guys.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry if this is gonna be your lowest rating.
No, man, this is good. This is good. This is a good one.
That's what happens when you bring me on board. But, no, man, hey, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well,
I'm gonna be here every night.
No, you're not. No, this is my fucking house. All right, man. Hey, just I want to remind everybody that
remember. Spade your animal.
Oh, Bob, I love you, Bob Barker. Spade, by the way, there's a great documentary about Bob Barker and The Price is Right on Netflix. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's fantastic, man.
I've seen part of it.
So, we're going to wrap it up. Chase, you got anything you want to give before we go?
Yeah, I just have to make sure to mention that we need to take care of ourselves so that we're going to be here. And you can laugh, but this is the serious shit. Guys and girls, go get yourselves checked out once a year. Get your blood work done and go see your doctor and make sure that there's not something creeping up on your ass that's going to put you down, because it happened to me. And I have to speak for myself and for everyone else. I want everyone to be here. I want to have my friends for as long as possible. So take care of yourselves.
I agree. I'm going to say this for all my friends who are over 45 years old. If you have not, male, if you have not had a prostate exam, go get one. It'll change your life.
You realize that you're thinking about being gay.
At least for that moment.
And it feels
you'll know the meaning of that scene in Fletch. So if you don't know that, then talk to me. We'll talk about it later.
My last words, I'm gonna say thank you very much for these two guys. This is great. Drop in Texas.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And so with that, man, we're gonna leave you guys, and just remember, keep your wheels down, the sun out of your eyes, and always be yourselves.
Later. Oh, shit, I meant to do...
You hit the wrong one.
There you go. All right, see y'all later.
All right, y'all be good.